this beautiful Sunday morning, God, to just be in your presence, God. So, Lord, we just want to commit the ministry of the word into your hands, Lord God. I humble myself before you today, Lord God. May I decrease so that you increase, God, and take all the glory. So come, Holy Spirit, come and touch the lives of your people and speak to everyone who is listening, God. And let them know your love, Lord, today. So, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Can we turn that down a little bit? That is ringing in my ears, sorry. Cool. So, yeah, as my dad said, I was, I was asked to speak a few weeks ago, but then I declined it because I thought that I was wanting to take a break, actually. But then actually, funny enough, last week, about 8 days ago or so, seven days ago, I just was feeling that God actually wanted me to speak a message to the church, Zion, today. But obviously, the guest speaker was already booked in. But then with the sudden cancellation, you know, so here I am. So I think God really wants me, I think God really has a message for the church. So today my message is on Emmanuel, and I'm going to read from the book of Isaiah. So let's turn there, Isaiah the 7th chapter. I'm just going to be reading verse 1, and then we'll go on to verse 10 to 13. So Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the first verse, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it." In verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God, ask it either in the depths or in the height above.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord.' Then he said, 'Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Now in the late 1990s or maybe early 2000s, there was this popular song called One of Us. It was sang by Joan Osborne. It was nominated for 3 Grammy Awards and reached number 4 on the Billboard charts. And if you were around at the time, maybe you've heard this, you know. "What if God was one of us, just a stranger on a bus?" You remember that? But today I'd like to speak to you on one of the names of God, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And like the song that asks, can God be one of us? Can God be with us? And today I declare to you that Emmanuel, God did become one of us. God became man because we could not become God. Other religions try to portray how man can become like God, how you can reach out to God by doing good, by what you do. The more good you do, the better you can become God. And you hear it at funerals sometimes. They said, "He was a good man. He's in a good place now because of that." Or the New Age people say, "Release the inner God within you." But I declare to you today that that is impossible. The Bible says that nobody is worthy. We are all sinners and have all fallen short of God's glory. And indeed, it is insulting to the most perfect God to say that I can reach God through my own efforts alone. Who in 1 Timothy 6:16 says, "He dwells in unapproachable light." But Emmanuel, this is such a beautiful name of God. It says that God is with us. And knowing that we cannot attain to God's perfect standard, the Holy Trinity in eternity past declared, "Let us fashion man in our own image, to become like man, to dwell amongst men, to dwell amongst humans." And let's take it one step further. We would take the form of a human. Have you ever thought about that? God could come down as a spirit. But in his infinite wisdom, he chose to make himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and giving him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue will confess, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians chapter 4. And do you realize that today, seated at the right hand of God the Father, there is a human? Just think about that. But so I said that God became one of us. God came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuel is such a beautiful name because it encapsulates so much of what God is doing in your life and in mine. So going back to the text and giving some background on this story, this was a time when Israel, God's promised people, was split into two kingdoms, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, or Jerusalem in the south. And in this case, there were two kings that wanted to come against Judah to attack them. So the prophet Isaiah comes to King Ahaz and asks him to ask God for a sign. He says, "You won't lose, but ask God for a sign." But the king foolishly says, "I will not ask, nor will I test God." Now there is a time where you should not ask for a sign. When God speaks, faith is all that is needed to go ahead. Even Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to them except the sign of Jonah." But friends, there comes a time when God asks you something, and the humble thing to do is to agree with God and do what He says. And so here He writes Ahaz a blank check. He says, "Ahaz asks for a sign, anything in the depths below, anything in the heavens above." But Ahaz refuses. And Isaiah gets angry because he knows that King Ahaz is not really sincere. He is faking it. And he does not want God in the mix. He's actually proud. And Ahaz, in his heart, does not want to believe what God wants to say. God says, "Ask for a sign." Ahaz says no, because he would not believe God. And then Isaiah says that, "Will you weary man? Will you weary God? How long will you do that?" Now, do you know there are just some people like that in the church? They're the wearisome type of people. So one of our guest speakers I heard calls them vampires. And all they do is go around sucking the blood out of everyone else, of the leadership of the pastor, and they're moving on to someone else. They would make a great movie, Vampires in the Church. But no, but Isaiah says, "How long will you weary man and God?" And then he gives a prophecy. He says, "Nonetheless, I will give you the prophecy." He says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel." And the question that you have to ask yourself is, this is so strange, right? In the context, I am now being attacked by my enemies. The survival of my nation of Judah is at stake. And then you give me a sign, a strange sign about a baby being born in the future. Now let's think about that for the moment. And again, we'll come back to this later. But now, having set the scene, we know that Emmanuel, this baby Emmanuel, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Matthew. And now God has many names in the Bible, and each name reveals a part of God's character. And here He says, Emmanuel, God with us. So today though, my message is actually very short and simple. And I have three simple points about the most beautiful name of God. Number one, God with us in the past. Point two, God with us in the present. And point three, God with us in the future. So first point, God with us in the past. He was always there before you were born. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." Now we've just read two very beautiful scriptures. "You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Passage is very beautiful. So think about the time before you were born, God already knew you. And let me tell you that you are not a mistake. And God does not make mistakes. And I pray today that if some of you here had people say that to you, maybe you did not have a good relationship with your parents, with your grandparents, with your relatives. Maybe you did something wrong before and in a huff someone said that to you. They said you were a mistake. But I pray today that God would take this away from your life. In Jesus' name. And you and I, though, may not know the full extent at the moment, but you are definitely part of God's purposes on earth here right now. There are people that you can share God's love with whom I cannot. And same with myself. I can do things that you cannot. And as we read, Jeremiah also said, "Before you were born, I sanctified you." You see, even before you were born, God said, "I will sanctify you and I have chosen you here for my purposes on earth." You thought that becoming a Christian was when you accepted Christ into your heart. And that is true, right? You need to take that step to receive Christ into your heart. But it's really deeper than that, because the very act of sanctification was already formed in the heart and the mind of God way before you were born. He already knew the sins that you would do, how you would disappoint Him many times, but He still says, "Before I formed you, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. And how come? Because it says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And that was 1 Peter 1:20 and Revelation 5. So while we are in this current confluence of space and time, just know that you have been uniquely saved and known and crafted even before creation to accomplish God's unique purpose in your life. You know, as I move throughout the Christian life, I've come to a more acute realization that every time that the body of Christ comes together and everyone has a special gift and a special part to play. Before, I used to focus on what I can do, my ministries, my gifts. And maybe it's a particular flaw in the charismatic church where people esteem the gifts and the ministry sometimes. But you know, the focus should actually be on how the gift can bless the body and how the body can be built up and to be edified. And so ever since I listened to John Yates' sermon last year when I was here, he said that to esteem others higher than yourself. And I was meditating on that and was thinking, how does that actually apply to me? And so I found out that the way I attempt to esteem others higher than myself is to recognize that particular gift, that particular testimony, that particular ministry, and the particular message, and say, wow, God, he or she can do something that I cannot do. And I thank you, God, for creating that person to be here and putting that unique person around. So even just yesterday, I was walking around Clarkson and praying. And then I actually met an old gentleman. He was doing street evangelism. And then we end up chatting. He goes to a church up in Merriwa. And he says that in 2 hours, he can actually have 7 or 8 good conversations with people. But wow. See, this gentleman was created for such a time as this. He's uniquely qualified to do something that maybe a lot of us cannot do. And who knows how many seeds he has sown, how many people he has brought to the gospel, how many lives have been changed because of his ministry. A simple ministry. But whatever it is, you see, maybe the sister there has a gift of hospitality. And in doing so, she breaks down barriers. She can break down barriers, create a welcoming atmosphere in the church. Or maybe there's a brother there who has the gift of helps. He ferries someone to church faithfully every week so that the person can come to church to encounter God. Whatever it is, everyone has something to contribute. See, Romans 12:5 says, though we are many, we are one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And maybe some of us here are in denial and we say we don't have a gift. In our humility, we put ourselves down and say we have nothing to contribute to the church or to our fellow brothers and sisters. It's a bit like being King Ahaz, having a fake form of humility. Instead, you should agree with God. God speaks and says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I have given a gift to you. So then just ask God, Lord, what are my gifts so that I can bless my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I can bless my church? Emmanuel, God with us in the past. Let us also think about the times throughout our past history, throughout our life, where God has been at work, where he was with us. And for some of us here, it's even a time before you were a Christian. See, God has been at work in your life even before you knew it. For some of us here, we may have had near-death experience or particular traumatic experiences in our past or incidents in our past where you recall, if God had not turned you onto a different path, your life could have been very different. My mother, some of you may not know the story, but due to family circumstances, when she was a baby, she was almost given up for adoption to a Muslim family. See, life would have been very different if that had happened, but God did not allow that to happen. My pastor in Hong Kong spoke about an inner healing seminar which he went to, and the speaker just told everyone to close their eyes and recall a serious incident in the past and ask God, where were you in that incident? And when he did that, he recounted this incident when he was 16 years old. Before he was a Christian, he was a naughty boy. And without his parents' permission, he took the car in America. He took it without his parents' permission, went onto the freeway and got into a serious incident on the LA freeway, which was really huge. And the car spun out of control over a few lanes. But he ended up on the road shoulder unhurt. And so in this vision, he saw that there was a big angel actually covering his car and spinning it and deftly steering it across the highway to the road shoulder. He also spoke about a victim of abuse who was badly beaten, and asked God, where were you? And then she had an image of Jesus covering her and shooting her blows one by one during the incident. So you can try this at home. If there's something in your past, like in your quiet time, just close your eyes, ask Holy Spirit to ask, to reveal to you, God, where were you? You see, for me, I also can recall times, but for 1 second, myself, my family would have been seriously killed or injured. Once I was in Sydney, I was driving a car, and the car ran a red light down a hill on my right. If I had been 1 second quicker, that car would have just smashed straight into the door on the driver's side. Or when I was in New York, due to the different traffic system, cars driving on the different side, or the wrong side of the road, I must say. So I looked to the right, I crossed the road, and a car just half a second earlier just sped past me. And I said, wow. So, moral of the story, look both sides before you cross the road. But when I was on holiday in over an overwater villa, and we left Zoe, my two-year-old, just out of our sight in the small pool on the villa for a few seconds. And the next thing we knew, she was trying to climb out of this pool, trying to reach something. And she could have fallen over into the water below if she was not careful. But see, we thank God that He was always there watching us and sending His angels to protect us. So we thank God that He has been with us even in our past. Last year, our brother Albert spoke on the memorial stones. Remember, where we remember what God has done for us. So what are memorial stones for? It is to remind you of God with you in the past. In a particular deliverance, a special encounter with God in the past. And why? So that we can face the present and the future. So, which brings me on to my second point. Emmanuel, God with us in the present. We can approach Him confidently today. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help of time of need." Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you." So let us talk about the now, God with us in the present. As I mentioned before, Emmanuel means God with us. And think about that for a moment. It's an amazing thing, right? Because God is saying, "I know you cannot come to me, so I come to you." And God says now, "I am your very present help in time of need. Come boldly now to my throne to obtain grace, to obtain everything that you need in your need." See, when this world was down and without hope, I chose to leave the glory and splendor and the majesty of heaven to come down into this earth to be with rubbish humanity. Why? Because the very heart of God is to be and to dwell amongst His people. There is an interesting text in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. And this is when David was convicted by God. And he was praying to God to say, "Lord, I want to build you a house, build you the temple." And this was what God replied to him, 2 Samuel 7, 7 to 8. "For I have not dwelt in a house," this is God saying, "I have not dwelt in a house since the time I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and a tabernacle. Whenever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" See, from the passage in Samuel, David was asking God to build him a temple. And God was replying, and he was actually very touched. He was saying to David, "Thank you for thinking about me and my tabernacle. But actually, I have never really required it or never asked for a house. All this time, I was happy with my people moving around with them. I was happy to dwell with them and be with them and never requested a temple." You see, God does not require big buildings, big structures, big churches. He never asked for it. Unlike other religions, you need to build a beautiful temple, a beautiful shrine to house their gods. Or there are other religions that emphasizes going to a special holy place to meet their God. But thank Jesus that for us Christians, we don't need to go to a temple. No need to offer incense or sacrifices. We don't even need to go to a church building to be with God. Because we are the temple of God, and God is simply happy to be amongst His people, to be with us here. And this is where we are. Let us thank God for what a great God that He is. And let me tell you why. Because the very first thing that God did after Emmanuel died on the cross was to tear down the veil that was covering the Holy of Holies in the temple, where the very presence of God was meant to dwell. And He said, "No more separation. I have enough of being boxed away from my people. The gulf of separation, the chasm of sin that was separating me and my children is no more because of the blood of Emmanuel on the cross. And behold, now a new era is coming where I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, my very Holy Spirit. My very presence would dwell in the hearts of my children, and I will be with them all the time. As we read just now in Hebrews, it says that God tells us to boldly come to Him. And what does that mean? Jeremiah 33:3, known as God's telephone number. The emergency number here, Australia, 000. But then we know from Sunday school that God's number is 333. He says, call to Him, and I will answer. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So in your distress, in your present problem, you have access to God. He says, call to Him, He will answer. He says, draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. See, God came to us because He desires a relationship with us. You have heard this thing in Christianity, if you've been in the church many times, that Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. And what sort of a relationship if it's only one way? If it's only maybe us speaking and praying all the time? If we can't hear God speak, or we don't believe that God speaks to us and He's our very present help today. Indeed, the Baptist minister Henry Blackaby says, if the Christian does not know when God is speaking, he is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. Now, we're not saying it's necessarily that we hear the audible voice of God all the time, but God speaks through many ways, through the Bible, the church, circumstances, visions, dreams, prophecies, impressions, promptings in the heart, small voices, many ways. And I'll touch a little bit on hearing from God later. But the point is, God with us in our present. He's our very present help today. God is with us today. And in this very present time, you can boldly approach the throne of grace and call unto God, and He will answer. Let's give God the glory there. Now I'll move on to my final point. Emmanuel, God with us in the future. There is a future and a hope. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Romans 8:28 says, we know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And there are two types of people today here that are facing the future. One, some of you are very confident, you're very rested and confident in Christ. At this moment in life, there is no imminent troubles for you. And we praise God for that, that you have this imminent rest and you are very secure in Jesus. But there's a second group of people here, those who are undergoing some form of troubles, and I'm seemingly worried about the future. And I hope that this part will speak to you. So let's go back to the beginning of the message. It says, why did God choose a seemingly irrelevant sign that did not seem to help for the present battle there and then? Why did He talk about a baby being born in the future when the country was under attack? How will a baby being born actually help them? So let's go back and examine that. In the Bible, we know that God said that the Savior of the world will come from the line of Judah, which happened to be under attack at that point in time. And so actually, God was actually giving a promise. He was saying, do not worry. Even though you are under attack, you will not die and you will not be exterminated. I promise to send my Messiah, my suffering servant, Jesus Christ. If you die, how can my son be born from your descendants? See, ever since the fall, humanity has been looking and searching for the special offspring, the special seed, the Messiah, whose heel the serpent will bruise, but the seed that will crush the serpent's head. And throughout the Psalms, the people know that the Messiah should come from the line of David, the house of Judah. And so with a word from God, King Ahaz and the people of Judah should have known that everything will be okay, and they will have an offspring, the Messiah is yet to be born, and that the country cannot be eliminated forever. Isaiah would have known it, but maybe Ahaz and the people of Judah missed the point. But nonetheless, it was a sign, an encouraging word for the future to help the present. And it is so important to get a word from God in the middle of troubles, because the word of God holds the promises of God for the future. Let us turn quickly to Psalms 119, verse 49 to 50. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalms, the 119th chapter, verse 49 to 50. Psalms 119, 49 to 50 says, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Let's read that again. "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Such a beautiful passage. See, in times of trouble, we always need to cling onto the promises of God that He has given us. As I mentioned, God may speak through the Bible, prayer. Perhaps a fellow Christian, brother and sister, may have spoken an encouraging word to you. Or you may receive an encouraging prophecy from a minister of God. And God is saying today to you, no matter what your circumstances, no matter how trying things can be, there are certain promises of God that you can cling to. See, I've come to realize in my experience that God's word never fails. When God speaks, He will accomplish it. Yes, the word of God will test you. It will try you. But it never fails. And this is your source of comfort and your hope in your affliction. Think about Joseph. The word of God came to him at such a young age that he will achieve greatness. But yet, what did it say in Psalms 105, verse 17? Joseph, who was sold as a slave, they hurt his feet with feathers. He was laid in irons. That refers to the prison experience. But until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Now you imagine Joseph, right? Thrown in prison through no fault of his. We know the story. Then suddenly one day God says, "You have passed the test." And suddenly, boom, he was elevated to the second highest position in Egypt. But if you think about it, throughout those times, throughout those trying times in prison, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was testing him. And Joseph was remembering the word of God, the promises of God for his life. And he was clinging on to them tightly, hoping and waiting until the time of his word came to pass. And see, when you are down, you can pray to God because He is with us. And you ask God to remember the words that He has given to you. This is your comfort in your affliction. And this is your hope for your future. See, there was a time in my life around 7 years ago now when I was out of a job in Hong Kong. Then the time my wife was pregnant with our first child, Zoe. And I was quite worried because I said, should I stay in Hong Kong or should I move back to Australia? Then when I started praying, I felt God giving me a picture of someone carrying my baby daughter in my apartment in Hong Kong. Then I sort of knew or was encouraged that I will be staying on in Hong Kong because it implies that my daughter will be born there. And it also implies that I will be getting a job soon. Why? Because without a job, it was impossible for me to stay in Hong Kong because the rent and the cost of living is so expensive without a job. But there were many setbacks in those months, and I went for many job interviews. Many things did not pan out. But I always held on to this promise of God that I would be employed in Hong Kong. So fast forward to today, I am happy to say that I'm still in Hong Kong still, and we're still living and working there. And what about another time in my life? In July 2015, this was a Saturday, I remember, we found out from the doctor that my wife had a miscarriage. So I was a little bit sad. Right, Saturday in July 2015. But then the next day at church, during the Sunday worship, I felt God saying to me, He said, "By this time next year, you will be carrying a child in your hands." And that was cool. And praise God, over 1 year later, July 2016, my wife gave birth to our second baby, Ava. But what is the point of these small testimonies, you see? During a dark time, during a trying time, I realized that the only way I could have gone through it was to remember God's word and His promises to me. And in affliction, however big, however small, you need to cling on to God's word that has given you hope. Remember the words on which you have caused a servant to hope. "For your word has given me life. This is my comfort in my affliction." And this really was my prayer in my dark times. But the point is, remember that God is with us, and because He is with us, we can face the future. And maybe for some of us today, the word of the Lord to you is exactly Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes." And there's some of you here whose situation you think is so bad, perhaps you are giving up hope. So my friends, ask God for a word that you can hold on to in your affliction. And remind Him when you pray of His promises to you. Do you need a word from God? Ask God to speak to you, either through the Bible or through a Christian friend. And I thank God for my church in Hong Kong, where personal prophecy is a big thing. And I have been, me and my family have been the recipient of many encouraging prayers and prophetic words from my just fellow brothers and sisters in my house church and in my church and my ministry. And this has allowed us to go through some very difficult and some trying times in various times of our life. And my prayer for you here is that God will activate this gift in each and every single member here. The Bible says to especially desire prophecy so that we can edify and build one another up. 1 Corinthians 14. And in my view, this is something that actually can be learned, practiced, and can be learned. See, I am not naturally prophetic in any sense of that word. I don't normally have this gift where I always come up and can give a word. And I certainly do not have the calling to the office of a prophet. But certainly God desires to be with us and He desires to speak with us. And so we have, at least I've been learning and our church has been learning to cultivate the simple lower level of prophetic gift. It's actually New Testament prophecy in the context of the church and believers is simply about hearing what God says and speaking it. And it could be as simple as, you know, going to someone and praying for them and asking, God, what do you want to speak to this person, to my brother and sister? And in faith, just speaking what you believe God has shown you or impressed upon your heart, as long as it's, you know, encouraging and it's in line with God's word. Of course, I said that protocols, checks and balances, especially if it's a big and serious thing, you know, the senior pastor should lay down the protocol in the church. But as I said, many times it's simply a simple thing like, brother, I sense the Lord holding an umbrella over your head. And I feel that God is saying that He is your protector. This is just a prayer that I prayed for my brother the other day, and he was really encouraged for it. Certainly biblical, certainly loving, and there is no harm done, even if I am wrong or prophetically inaccurate, so to speak. And it's not important that my gift is super accurate or super strong, but rather that my brother is built up and he feels the love of Christ. But yes, all of us need a word from the Lord in our difficult and trying times. And so let us ask God for this. And in our small groups, in our prayer times, we're praying for someone. Yeah, just try and practice this. And, you know, I think that the love of Christ and the encouragement of Christ will flow in a greater degree if we can practice that. And so, yeah, we thank God for the promises to be with us even into our future. Emmanuel, God with us in the future. So as I bring this to a close right now and the worship team comes up. See, some of us here are going through difficult times. But as we read in Romans, that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. And we know that He was with us even before we were born. So don't worry. My encouragement to you is do not worry. Whatever you are going through, God has everything in control. Emmanuel, God with us. So let's now just go into a time of response. Maybe we'll sing the song Cornerstone. So, as we enter into a time of response, let us just pray for a few things today, this morning. Either for yourself, if you're going through tough times, pray that God will speak to you and give you a word in which you can hope. This will be your comfort in your affliction, because His word will give you life. Or perhaps you know today, somebody is struggling. Your brother or sister here is going through a tough time, you know that. Pray that God will give a word of encouragement to them, that it will be their hope and their life in their affliction. Or maybe that some of us here are struggling with something in our past which we have not dealt with, a hurt, a wound, a struggle, a traumatic incident, and you are not at peace and you keep asking, why God, why has it to happen, why? But just close your eyes and ask God, ask Holy Spirit to reveal where Jesus Christ was at that time in your life. And ask Him to reveal where He is even right now. And for all of us here, let's just ask God to reveal Himself as Emmanuel, God with us.